In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Those who confess me before men, I will confess before my Father in heaven. Those who deny me before men, I will deny before my Father in heaven. When Christ speaks these words, what St. Ignatius Brianchaninov calls his sentence upon us, he is speaking to, as one flash, all of those who are baptized Christians in every time and place, and he is speaking to us today. The difference between an ancient Orthodox Christian faith and the Christian faith of our times is very simple. The confession of Christ is the doing of what is good and right and true, at one with Christ, along with him, from his humility, from his strength. Those who are not Orthodox Christians say that that is not possible. And we as Orthodox Christians say, yes, not only is it possible, it is everything that Christianity is about. God came into the world in order to enable us to act along with him, at one with him. Whenever we defeat some temptation, we are confessing Christ. It is by his strength, by our faith in him, that we defeat that temptation. Whenever we miss the mark, we deny Christ. We don't confess him. Whenever we confess Christ, that is to say, whenever we do what Christ has made it possible for us to do, what is right and true and good, whether it means dealing with another human being and really seeing and hearing that person and loving and caring about that person, denying ourselves and being there for them. Whenever we do that, we are confessing Christ, because it is through Christ that we are able to do that. It's not because of our own ability, not because of our own capacity. It's because God created human beings in such a way that we are able to act along with him. That was lost at the beginning, but it was returned to us. Christ came into the world, ascended the cross, and descended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and sends the Holy Spirit so that we might be able to do that. And when we do that, we are confessing Christ. And when we don't, we are denying Christ. That's synergy. That's cooperation between ourselves and God. If we have a worldly understanding of everything, and we are determined to make Christianity fit into our world-loving and God-denying and Christ-denying love of the world, then we'll look at it differently. We'll interpret it according to our love of the world. And we will say we are Christians even while we are denying Christ. We will say that we are Christians, and we will pray, God, give me the strength to act on my own so that I can return and have a strength of my own to be able to do the things that I want to do in the world. This is a pagan prayer. The pagans prayed to their gods to give them strength so that they could go out and be heroes in the world, to be like gods, with a strength that was their own strength, to be able to defeat their enemies, to be able to live lives from a strength that had been given to them. That's not the Christian faith. God doesn't give us strength of our own to go and live without him in the world. The Christian faith is that God created human beings so that we can only act as true human beings, so that we can only act as the persons that God has created and not some imaginary hero in our mind, when we are acting along with him to do what is good and right and true and impossible without our cooperation along with God. Because that's what it means to be a human being. That's the capacity that was lost at the fall. That's the capacity that was given back to us. To be able to confess Christ means to do exactly that. Now, people have come and wanted to continue to live a worldly life just as they had before, a pagan life, and they reinterpreted the scriptures. And they reinterpreted them in a legalistic kind of way that gave them some kind of right to act independently of God. Even though they say that we lost that capacity to act on our own independent of God at the beginning, that's their interpretation of the fall. They say God created us to act independently of Him, autonomous, self-governing. And it was up to us to go out and to do good or to do wrong, and we did wrong. And so we lost that capacity. But their idea is that when Christ came, somehow we accept His sacrifice, and we are to go in the world and live a worldly life and just ask God for the goodies that we want. Food, comfort, luxury, health, or whatever it is. The way it was for the pagan Greeks and the pagan Romans, who prayed in exactly that kind of way. They would pray to particular gods for particular favors. Give me this, give me that. That was their prayer. Our prayer is for the humility to be able to confess Christ, because we can't confess Christ in pride. We have to desire to be humble before God and be able to confess Christ, to act not claiming that we are independent of God, but recognizing that we are dependent on Him always. Now, most of the time, even those of us who were baptized as Christians don't recognize this. Most of the time, we live not like Christians, but like pagans. On this day, we celebrate and remember all of the saints. Last week was the day of Pentecost, the day when sainthood became possible. Today, we celebrate all of the saints that have ever been. But we have to be careful not to take the saints and put them off at a distance from ourselves in a kind of strategic move of leaving ourselves free to live in this world in a way that does not confess Christ. You see, there's this legal interpretation of things where God came into the world and died on the cross so that I won't go to hell, and if I accept Him and tell other people about it, that's what those people mean by confessing Christ. You go out and you tell people, God came into the world so that we don't have to go to hell. And if we confess Him as our Savior from hell, then it's a done deal. Of course, we're still sinners. We try to do the best we can, but God will forgive us. And there's no mention of confessing Christ in the ancient and traditional and Orthodox Christian way of things. We're left to live a worldly life without the interference of God and only turn to Him in times of terrible difficulty. And then we ask Him for health or for some benefit, some financial assistance, so that we can go back to living life on our own, independent of Him. It's the pagan way. When we celebrate the Day of All Saints, we are really celebrating the day of all Christians, all of those who are saints through Christ. And we as Christians are meant to be numbered amongst those who are able to be Christians through Christ. It's the only way that we can be Christians. If we're not Christians in that kind of way, then we've reinterpreted the scriptures so that we're free of God, so that we're free of Christ, and we'll just go to Him when we need Him, like the pagans did. And it will do about as much good, because God turns a deaf ear to those who pray to Him for the things of the world instead of praying to Him for the gifts that He died on the cross in order to give to us. That's the way things are in the Christian faith. As Christians, we find more and more as we live our lives that we are not living the life that we would have chosen. The more deeply Christian our lives become, the more we find that we are living a life that we had not intended to live. We find that we are living a life chosen for us by God. Day by day, year by year, we move in a way that is guided not by our own desires and intentions and plans, but by the intentions and plans that God has for the person we are that He has created. Our life belongs to Him. We live our lives by cooperation with Him, by confessing Christ. That is, by doing the things that need to be done, the next thing that needs to be done, but doing it in such a way that we are not relying simply on ourselves, but instead we are giving up our pride and our arrogance and our belief that my life is my own and I will live it as I please, and instead accepting that being able to do what needs to be done always involves humility. It always involves sacrifice. We don't know what the end is going to be like. God knows. And if we trust Him, then we do the next thing that needs to be done, and we let our mind and heart rest in peace. To do anything else is to miss the mark, to sin, to live in a way that is distant from God, a way that we have chosen ourselves. In the time of our lives, we find that we are becoming a person that is God created, God finished, completed by God, a person who is given all of the details and substance of our life from the hand of God. We are not self-made human beings. We can't be self-made human beings and be Christians. Those who are proud of the life that they have made for themselves, they are failures, spiritually speaking. The way of success according to the world, the way of the world, involves a dedication to the world rather than God. Many times, those things that we find about ourselves that are least able to inspire us with a sense of strength and security and pride are the very things that God values more than anything else. We may even find others who love us for things about ourselves that we consider to be weaknesses or shortcomings. We have been told by Christ and by St. Paul and all of the saints that God's strength in us is made strong by our weakness. This is the life of a Christian, someone who is able to stand up in the face of all of the forces of darkness and death, not because of their own strength, not because God has given them strength to use as a weapon against death, but because God Himself is our defender. He has destroyed the power of death, and we can be at peace and know that all things are in His hands if we give them into His hands. If we are determined to hang on to the reins of control ourselves and simply ask God to give us strength, then we have denied Christ. We are asking in the old pagan way. We can't even begin our Christian life unless we begin with humility. Archbishop Anthony Bloom used to say that there is such a thing as Christian pride. Now, there is a worldly pride, but there is a Christian pride too. And it is a higher and deeper kind of pride. It's not a pride in ourselves as independent human beings separate from God. Bishop Anthony used to say that human beings imagine a world without God, and then they try to build themselves up to be as big as they can imagine themselves to be. It's a fantasy. It is the fantasy that the majority of human beings on the face of the earth are very deeply committed to, and they compete with one another to be known by others as the most powerful in their particular group or place or time or whatever it is. But the reality is that God is not absent from the world. God can't be excluded from the world. A Christian pride, as Elder Paisios would say, is a philotimo, a word that he loved very much. It had a meaning before Christianity, but the meaning after Christianity is even stronger and deeper. Philotimo in Greek meant honor, to love the honor of morality, of integrity, of goodness, more than anything else. It is a quality that makes people human beings. And it is a quality that no one has by themselves. Philotimo is something that we share with other human beings as human beings. It was a strong part of how the Greeks in ancient times understood what it meant to be a Greek. And it was why they could include others who were not ethnically or racially the same as themselves as truly Greek, if they had this sense of the pride of our moral humanity. Now, with the coming of Christ, we see the true human being. There is a loyalty to him, to the way of life that he reveals, that fits in perfectly with what the Greeks desired. This sense of honor as a spiritual honor. We are created in the image and likeness of God. And through Christ, we are able to live that life. Those, Christ said, who confess me, who live in this way, with this integrity with me, this oneness with me, I will confess before the Father. Those who betray me betray us all as human beings, and I will deny them before the Father. They are not truly of us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they are not truly of us. Christ came and enabled us to have oneness with him. In our humanity, he sits on the right hand of God, the Father. His humanity is our humanity. Whenever we are tempted, we are being tempted to betray that divine human humanity that he extends to us as a gift if we will take his hand and live our lives along with him instead of trying to pretend that we can live any kind of a decent human life without him. That is our calling as Christians, to be human beings at one with and through Christ. That's what it means to be a saint. Not someone who is perfect and unlike everyone else and so distant that we can't have anything to do with them, but to pray to them for favors like they were gods and we were pagans. But to call upon them to take our hands as we would call upon those who are part of a spiritual struggle that all human beings participate in order to be fully human beings and not to betray Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.